Welcome to Early Homecoming, a podcast for missionaries who have returned home early and for those who care about them. My name is Kristen Reber, and I am the author of Early Homecoming, a resource for early returned missionaries, their church leaders, and family. On this podcast, you will hear stories and gain insights from myself and other missionaries who returned home early, as well as experts, parents, and church leaders. Join us on the path of understanding and healing as we share our stories and insights about the phenomena of returning home early from a mission. Well, welcome to Early Homecoming. I am so excited to do this podcast. This is my first episode, and I figured that for my first episode, I would share my story. Now, I already recorded an episode, but in that episode, I pretty much just monologued. And later, when I recorded some interviews, I thought those sounded so much better than the little monologue that I had recorded. So I asked my husband, James, who has just a wonderful voice, to interview me. So James is also on the line. James, will you just introduce yourself real quick?
Yes. Hi, I'm James. Since this is a missionary podcast, I served my mission 12 years ago in Minnesota. I now work as a software developer and have been married to Kristen for 6 years now.
Yeah. Thanks, James. I guess I'll go ahead and just start telling my story and you can ask questions as you come up with them.
Sounds great.
All right. So I served my mission in the Philippines. I went to the Philippines Iloilo mission. I was out for 6 months. 3 of those months were in the MTC in Provo. And then the other 3 months were spent in the Philippines. And about 8 of those weeks were spent either in my bed in my apartment or in a hospital bed. And for about 7 of those weeks, nobody knew what was wrong with me. But I ended up coming home early due to a parasite. I stayed home. I did not go back out.
Why did you choose to serve a mission?
Well, it was never really something that I had thought about growing up. It kind of came out of the blue one day. And I know that's kind of common for sisters after having talked to several of them now, if they hadn't already planned their whole lives to serve a mission. For me, I was just on a walk one day. I was trying to clear my head. I kind of had a rough few months. And I had the thought come to me that I should just stop worrying about the past, let it go, and instead start thinking about my future. And that thought made me happy. And almost the next second, the thought came that I should consider serving a mission. And I was a little taken aback by the thought. I'd never considered that before, like I said. And I became pretty excited. I've always loved a good adventure. And so I prayed about it, thought about it. I actually prayed and thought about it for a good 6 months. And after a bit of vacillating back and forth, I ended up reading a scripture, Joshua 1:9, while I was thinking about this decision, and it said, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I was like, all right. I felt at that point like I could really serve a mission and that it would all be okay, no matter what.
Okay. So can you tell me more then about your mission experience, about coming down with the parasite, about the experience of finding out you were sick, of communicating to that to others, mission president, companions, family, learning that you were sick? How did that experience go for you?
Yeah. Well, that's a lot. So I got to the Philippines and everything was great. Met my trainer. No issues, really. There's a bit of culture shock. Philippines is a third world country, and they definitely do things differently over there. Not necessarily bad, just different. But I was feeling good. I was enjoying the work. I just was happy. But then one day, I just remember I started to feel off. And I didn't really want to go out. And I just figured I was in a little bit of a funk, probably tired, probably still suffering from culture shock. So I still pushed myself and went out. But as the weeks went on, I became just more and more irritable. I developed abdominal cramps. I was so, so tired. And my companion, she went from kind of being very concerned about me. And then as things just continued and doctors weren't finding anything, she became kind of irritated with me. So there was just a lot going on physically as well as emotionally. As the weeks wore on, I stopped being able to go out and preach, and I just stayed home a lot. And there was a neighbor girl who was in the ward, and she would come stay with me. She was 14 years old, and she was awesome. I loved hanging out with her, but I also really, really wanted to work, and I was really just getting down on myself and kind of depressed because I couldn't understand why I was so sick. And I began thinking back to what was kind of going on. And I remember they had warned us about the water and to be really, really careful with what we drank. And I had been careful, but I remembered that first night in the Philippines, I had accidentally stuck my toothbrush directly into the tap because, you know, that's what I'd done all my life. And I wasn't thinking, I was tired. I had just gotten off the airplane. And so I stuck it in and I immediately pulled it out. And I, to this day, wonder if that is what gave me the parasite. Just that moment of just a brain lapse. And I decided, well, it's probably fine. Stuck the toothbrush in my mouth. And I don't know. So that's my guess. Either that or I drank some bad water somewhere. Because my parasite ended up being pretty much waterborne. So that's the theory at any rate. But anyways, so I'm feeling really down on myself. My companion and some of the other sisters I was living with, they began making comments like, you know, if the Lord can use you, you'll be healed. But if he can't, then you're going to go home. And I was just so scared. I was like, I don't want to go home early. Only missionaries who aren't worthy or who are bad or just awful, only those missionaries go home early. I can't go home early. I'm a good person. I'm a good missionary. The Lord will heal me. I will be okay. I got priesthood blessings, but none of them promised that I'd be healed, at least not in the Philippines, but that the Lord would be with me wherever I went. But I don't know, I was really, really discouraged. I remember being so discouraged. Well, eventually, I was taken to the hospital in Iloilo. I had been in the area furthest from Iloilo, which was the mission home area. It's the big city on the island I was on. It was a four-hour bus ride. We went a couple times, actually, and my poor companion hated bus rides and she was pretty irritated by the time we had to go on it for like the fourth time because it was, you know, round trip. So there was a few back and forths there for 4 hours. And I was in the hospital a lot and they did tests on me. And I remember my last hospital stay. They were like, there is nothing wrong with you. And I'm like, look, I have such bad abdominal cramps. There is something wrong with me. Well, they thought I had appendicitis, so they were about to do surgery on me. And I kind of became an ugly American at that point. And my companion was really embarrassed. And actually, the mission president's wife was there. She was really embarrassed by how I suddenly just got kind of ugly on them and told them, no, it is not appendicitis. And I demanded an ultrasound. And they told me it's very expensive to get an ultrasound. And I said, I have money. I'll pay it. You know, I was so mad. Well, they did the ultrasound on me. It was not appendicitis. And so I went back. Took me back to the room and I said, test me for a parasite. And they were like, no, it's not a parasite. And I said, I want you to run the test anyways. They're like, okay, but you're going to have to pay for it. And I said, I'll pay for it. Anyways, they did the test, came back negative the first time. I asked them to run it again, and the second time it came back positive with a very serious parasite called Entamoeba histolytica. And they apologized to me. And I calmed down. I felt really bad for the way I had acted, especially just as a missionary. I really should have acted a lot calmer and nicer, but I was so panicked being in a third world hospital and they were about to do surgery on me that I didn't need. And they didn't speak English super well. And I was just really, really panicked, but they gave me medicine and they killed the parasite. And I was able to go back to my area after a few days. But Entamoeba histolytica means tissue cutter. And that parasite had wreaked havoc on my intestines for about 8 weeks. And so the stress and the rigors of missionary work, I was not able to, I wasn't able to do it. And it became obvious in about a matter of 3 days, maybe a little longer, but it was less than a week. And we were back on the bus, that 4-hour bus ride. And Filipino bus rides, I mean, I love the Filipinos, but their bus rides are so rickety. And my poor companion was just so, oh, she was so sick. I felt so bad for her. We went to the mission home. And it was determined that I just needed to stay close to the mission home and to the big hospital. And they decided to emergency transfer me to that area. But while I was in the mission home, I remember thinking, I need more than the maybe 1 or 2 days that they're going to give me here to rest in the mission home. Maybe I should go home. I'd felt so bad because, you know, for about 8 weeks, I had really slowed down the work. I mean, we had been able to teach, and my companion had been able to go out and teach with other sisters too. But they'd had to, you know, combine the areas for a little bit, and it was just a real big mess. And I was just feeling so guilty, and I didn't want to slow down the work in the big city we call them the city sisters, the sisters who were in Iloilo. And It was one of the toughest moments of my life up to that point. I remember I kneeled down beside my bed in the mission home office, and I offered a very sincere prayer, asking if I should go home early. And the moment I prayed that, I felt really bad. I was like, who prays for that? Who prays and asks if they should go home early? Of course, that's not the right answer. It's wrong. Like, I should tough it out, and I should just have faith that the Lord will heal me. But even at the moment I thought that, I had another feeling of peace come over me. Not about that thought, but about what I just prayed about. And I really couldn't deny it. It was pretty strong. And so I prayed again, this time just casting all doubt and judgment from my mind. And it was the same answer, that I should go home. I went to talk to my mission president, and he was very kind, and he said he would, you know, it's been 8 years. I really don't remember the conversation super well, but I do remember he said something to the effect of that he would look into it for me. Like, he was okay with that. He contacted my parents, and my mom actually wanted to talk to me before the flights were booked. And so I was allowed to email back and forth with her, and she just wanted to make sure this was my decision, that I was coming home for the right reasons, that it was absolutely necessary. And I said, you know, I don't know if it's absolutely necessary, but I just know that I'm having a really hard time healing here. The Philippines is also it's just very polluted, very dirty. Certain parts are, of course, clean, but most of it is not. And it was just a very tough environment to heal in. And again, missionary work was so strenuous. So I talked to my mom, and she reassured me that, like, my family was not upset with me for making this decision, and that nobody else would be mad at me, and my friends, ward members, everybody would be fine. And I don't know how she could make that promise, you know, but I don't know if she worked some magic before I came home to make sure the ward was nice to me or whatever. But that really was the final thing that helped me feel okay about going home, was knowing that nobody was going to be mad at me for this, and that nobody saw it as, you know, my fault. It's just something that needed to be done. It was out of my hands. I had to go home and heal. And my parents were also very concerned and wanted me to see a doctor in the United States and just really make sure everything was cleared out.
Was this your parent? Was this your family's first time hearing about your illness, or had you been updating them throughout these many weeks?
They found out about 2 weeks before this mission home visit. I really did not email them. I didn't want them to know. I didn't want them to worry about me. So they found out about my illness, my first hospital stay. All my hospital stays were pretty close together. So it was about 2 weeks previous. My mission president called them, let them know I was in the hospital. They were shocked. In hindsight, that wasn't the kindest thing of me. I should have let them know I was sick. But I didn't think I'd end up in the hospital. I really just thought, I thought I would be okay. I just thought it was some sort of weird, just stomach virus or something. So I wasn't too concerned until, you know, it got worse and worse pretty rapidly. And then it was obvious, yeah, I needed to go to the hospital.
So a few things jump out at me from your story already, just up to this point. This point being where you made the decision to go home and the mission president got on the phone with your parents. One thing that stood out to me is that the self-shame and the self-stigma of not being good enough, not cutting it. If the Lord could use me, he would heal me. That didn't start when you came home. That started when you started becoming sick enough that you couldn't go out and work, that you had to stay home with that teenager, that you were going to the hospital, that you were already experiencing that feeling of not being good enough or you couldn't make it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was started from day one of being sick. It was like, no, I can't take a sick day. I need to work. And, you know, I think secretly every missionary wishes for a sick day every once in a while. And I remember I actually did. I even, at the very beginning of my mission, I was about 2 weeks in, so right before this all started, and I was tired. I was so exhausted. And I said, you know, Heavenly Father, if you want to give me like a little cold or something just so I can take a day off, I wouldn't mind. And then I really thought I was being punished as soon as this illness started. I was like, oh my gosh, he granted that prayer. Oh my gosh, I am being punished. And I confided this to one of the sisters. I interacted with a lot of sisters. My story is a lot deeper and denser than what I'm giving here on the podcast, but one sister that I knew well, I had the chance to talk to her, and I told her this story about me praying and now I'm sick and I'm being punished. And she said, sister, Heavenly Father is not a witch. I don't think that he is punishing you for that prayer. He's a very kind, understanding Heavenly Father. Like, I'm sure he knew your heart when you said that prayer. It wasn't that you wanted to be done with missionary work. It was just that you were tired. He might have even had a little chuckle, you know? Like, it's okay. It's okay that you felt that. It's normal. And that was really relieving to hear. And I absolutely believe that. I don't think my illness was some sort of punishment or that God was getting rid of me because I wasn't a good enough missionary or a good enough person or, you know, whatever those shaming thoughts were telling me. I got sick because I got sick, because I have a human body and I drank some bad water somewhere along the way and my body reacted very negatively to that parasite. And that's it. That's what happened. And it was really unfortunate, but that's it. And that's a place that I got to many years after I came home early. That wasn't something that I realized immediately.
And did you have a lot of support while you were experiencing all of this in the mission field? Did you have other sister missionaries you could confide in? You didn't tell your parents until you were in the hospital, but were there other supports that you had, or were you kind of feeling alone?
I felt very alone in all of this. My companion was supportive up to a point, but I, you know, whether it was my perception or real, I felt like she was irritated with me a lot and even felt like I was faking it a lot. I mean, that was just the perception. And the other two sisters were really upset with me. I remember because I really was so cranky and irritable. I think I just was not fun to be around, and they probably just thought I had a bad attitude. And I do remember them making some comments or just some snide remarks, and my trainer was not happy to see me. One time she was just sent home from the hospital without me. I came home later, and she was the one who told me, if the Lord can use you, then you will stay. If not, you will go home. And that was just so crushing. And she wasn't happy to see me. I think she was hoping that I would go home, because I was just a thorn in her side at that point. I couldn't work. I was cranky. I was utterly useless, really, as a missionary. And I don't know, but I do remember that really, really hurt and caused me a lot of grief for many years to come. The one person I could talk to was that one sister. She was a city sister, so she hung out with me when I was in the hospital. The city sisters would come visit me, and we had known each other in the MTC. And she spoke English really well. She's an American. And so I was really able to talk to her quite well. And we already had that relationship. But other than that, no, I really didn't feel like I had any support. Not until I came home. Actually, surprisingly, when I came home, my parents they gave me the traditional missionary homecoming. They got my friends and just family, and they were all there. They were holding up signs. They cheered for me as I came down the escalator. I'm from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, so I was in the Spokane airport. And it made me so happy, because while I told everybody I was going to go back out, I knew in my heart I was done. I had gone through enough, and I did not want to return to the mission field. But I didn't tell anybody that for a while. And so I was really grateful for that. I was really grateful to see that. And they just wrapped their arms around me, and I was home. And I really didn't suffer anything negative from my ward, from my stake president. There were maybe a few comments here or there about, well, maybe you weren't meant to go. You made the wrong decision. But nothing more judgmental than that. And there's been missionaries who've come home early who have dealt with much, much worse than that. So I feel really lucky on that account.
Now, that experience of coming home at the airport, your family, your friends there holding signs and cheering for you when they saw you, I can imagine that if you were beating yourself up about coming home early, feeling a lot of shame and regret about the way that it played out, that such a homecoming could be miserable. But it sounds like for you, it wasn't. For you, you appreciated that show of support.
They made me feel like a returned missionary. Like I had come home early, but they made me feel like I had still served a mission. Just for that moment, you know, I was able to forget the early part and just enjoy the homecoming part, that I was home and that it was okay. And these are people who loved me. I still had a lot of self-stigma to deal with. While I didn't deal with anything culturally, I really beat myself up in my own head. And the first order of business for me, even though I really did know in my heart I'm not going back, was making that decision officially and letting people know that I am not going back out. And seeing if my heart could change at all, seeing if I could change my mind. Because I actually healed from the parasite and the effects of it really quickly. They took me to a doctor. Everything came back clean. It was a, you know, infectious disease doctor, somebody very skilled in this. So all came back clean. The parasite was gone. And within just a few days of some solid sleep and rest, I was really feeling great. And I was like, man, I should have just stuck it out for 3 more days. You know, I wasted the church's money. I'm home. If I had just rested for 3 days. But then I reminded myself that was never an option. You know, that was never an option to rest for 3 days. They were going to get you out. And I was like, okay, but now that I'm feeling better, I really should go back. I should go complete my mission. I committed to 18 months. I only served 6 months. I have 1 year to go. And I counseled a lot with my stake president. He was actually a family friend as well. So I had a cell phone number so I could just call him whenever I wanted. And we already knew each other really well. So it's kind of more of a friendship, really. But we still definitely had that, you know, leader. He still had that leadership position with me and authority. And I definitely still respected that. But he was so kind and he encouraged me to go to the temple with my decision. So I did. And at the end of the endowment session, you know, I pondered it the whole time and I prayed in the celestial room. I really felt like the Lord would be pleased either way. He'd be pleased if I went back and he'd be pleased if I stayed home. And that really surprised me, like that the Lord didn't have an opinion. I was like, what? I thought God always had an opinion, you know, on what I did in my life. And it turns out this was kind of one of my first experiences with him letting me make the choice that either way was fine. And he just was like, you choose. I don't care. You choose. And so I thought about it there in the celestial room and I said, what do I want? And I just remember thinking, I want to go back to school. I want to be here for my sister's wedding. She was getting married in 4 months and there's no way if I went back, no way I'd be here for that. I didn't want to go back to a mission. I was scared, not just of getting sick again, but missionary work is hard, way harder than what I thought. And I felt so underprepared for just the mental and physical rigors of it. Spiritually, I think I was ready, but mentally and physically, you know, I don't think I was. And I called my stake president after leaving the temple and told him my decision. And he said, you know, I feel good about that. I feel really good about that, actually. I said, thank you. Me too. Good to hear. Good to hear you feel good about that too. And he said something that has stuck with me ever since and really helped me in the months that followed was, Kristen, you're the kind of girl who, if things don't work out the way you're hoping they will, you know, 3-6 months down the road, you are going to beat yourself up and say that you're being punished for something, that this is a punishment for not returning to your mission. And I just have to tell you, that is not the case. You will be blessed no matter what. Life will be hard no matter what. But if you stick with this good feeling, know that it's okay, and move forward with your life. And ultimately, that's exactly what I did. I went back to school. I was able to move into a townhome with my best friend. That just worked out so smoothly, in fact, that we were able to get that place together. But I definitely still had shame that I was working through during this whole time. I avoided any conversations about missionary work. They just made me feel so ashamed of going on a mission. I wanted to forget. I really felt like it was just a mistake that I made and it wasn't ever meant to be part of my life. So I just wanted to forget about it. I didn't want anybody finding out I had come home early because even though so far I'd been treated kindly, I didn't know if I would always be treated kindly. And I didn't want questions. I didn't really want to remember it. I didn't want to talk about it. So I just avoided it. Anytime missionary work came up in church, I just kind of tuned it out. It really probably took me about 2 years before I was willing to participate in conversations about missionary work again. And probably a few more months after that to let people know willingly. You know, sometimes they just found out that I'd served a mission, but, you know, whether from my roommate or you know, just some other way. But anyways, it took me a few months after that 2 years to say, yeah, I served a mission. And sometimes that was the end of it. And that was a good beginning for me. That was a good start just to say I served a mission. Sometimes people would say, oh yeah, where? And I'd say, the Philippines. And sometimes they'd want to know a little bit more. And I'd say, Iloilo. And they're like, oh, I don't know where that is. Or, you know, other times it was just, oh, hey, I know somebody who served in the Philippines. When did you serve? And sometimes I was able to deflect that question. Mm. I would just say, oh, 2010 to 2011, because I was a sister. I could get away with that. They just assumed beginning of 2010 to, like, you know, middle of 2011 or something like that. But other times they wanted to know, you know, okay, wait, she served in 2010. Were you, like, you know, March 2010? I was like, no, I was end of October 2010. And then they kind of did some quick math and they're like, wait, I was like, I came home early. I came home April 2011. I only served for 6 months. And almost always they'd want to know why I came home early. That kind of seemed to be the next follow-up question. And I'd say I came home for medical reasons, two parasites, because I actually did have another parasite. It just wasn't as scary as the one I already told you about, so I won't go into it. But there was another one that was also just not very nice, but not as scary. Anyways.
So I have a rather broad question about how this experience affected your faith, your testimony, your trust in yourself that you can receive and follow promptings of the Spirit. And particularly, it seems to me that there's a parallel between when you decided to serve a mission and when you decided to stay home from your mission. Did you ever find a conflict between those experiences of initially feeling like, yes, I should go serve I could go serve a mission, and yes, I think I will go do that. And then 6 months later, you know, several months later, deciding, yes, I could go back, but I feel that God is letting me choose, and He's okay with that either way.
Absolutely. I definitely wondered why I had ever received the prompting to go on a mission. And I did leave this off. I did feel during those 6 months, and I even received a priesthood blessing telling me the Lord would be fine either way, whether I chose to serve or not. But I couldn't shake the fact that I had been prompted to serve a mission, or at least consider it. So why get that prompting if I'm not meant to go? You know, I mean, sure, the Lord will be pleased either way. Maybe He just wanted me to think about it. But it was a little confusing for me. Why get prompted to go on something only to come home early? And I was really confused, and I kept looking, you know, for that reason why I came home early. And I know that's really common with people who come home early, that there has to be a reason. There must be a reason. And some people have said early homecoming, this podcast and your book, are the reason why you came home early. It was to write those. And perhaps they're right, or the Lord just really helped me make a good thing out of an unfortunate situation. I don't know. But I really just say now, the reason I came home early is I got sick, and the Lord did prompt me to go on a mission, and I did go on a mission. Just because I didn't serve the full 18 months, that doesn't mean I didn't serve a mission. And I did teach people while I was there. And in fact, one of the people I taught did get baptized. And I found out later that another person who I taught while I was there ended up getting baptized. And then her husband got baptized. And I actually ended up making lifelong friends in the Philippines who I still keep in touch with to this day on Facebook. And it's been so fun. And I've gained greater empathy for those just in less fortunate circumstances than I am in third world countries. But also, I understand now what it feels like to feel like you're a little less in the church, you know, that you've somehow been marked, you know, and that there's something now about you that people can judge, and that's really misunderstood. And I just remember feeling so much like I just wanted acceptance, and I craved for people to understand what I was going through and that I was still a good person, even though I'd come home early. But at the same time, I didn't tell anybody that, you know, maybe didn't already know who was in my home ward, you know, in Coeur d'Alene, but definitely not when I went back to BYU, because I was so ashamed and so scared that they wouldn't understand. So I just tried to blend back into society and pretended for 2 years like I hadn't served a mission. And only just barely, you know, like I said, after 2 years, 3 months, started saying, yeah, I did serve a mission. And it took a little bit longer after that to be like, you know, yeah, I served a mission. And sometimes I would even just say, and I came home early. Today, when people ask if I served a mission or if it just kind of comes up, I'll say, yeah, I served a mission. And I don't usually tell them that I came home early. Sometimes I will if it feels right. But yeah, just the more I started telling people I came home early and the kindness that I was met with almost always was really beneficial to me. And those who were just a little concerned or confused, it was a nice teaching moment for me to explain. I came home, you know, for medical help, for medical reasons. And I'll say I still kind of had a stigma against those who came home due to worthiness issues. I really was emphatic to let people know I did not come home early due to worthiness issues, though it was for medical reasons, you know, and I got a lot of empathy for the medical stuff. And that made me more and more comfortable to let people know. And as the years went on and, you know, I was able to kind of start talking to people and helping people who would also come home early, just here and there a little bit, I began thinking about this book that had been mulling around in my brain. And I was like, I don't want to write that. I don't want to think about early homecoming or, you know, coming home early, because, you know, but it wouldn't leave me alone. So I finally said, okay, God, I will write that book. I will write it. I will do my best at any rate. But it's just going to be for those who come home early due to physical health reasons and mental health reasons. But people who come home early for worthiness reasons, like they can just feel bad. And I remember so clearly the Spirit then saying to me, don't you think that has got to be the hardest reason for coming home early? I mean, that's where the stigma is right there. Don't you think those people need help more than anyone? And it humbled me immediately. And I began thinking about that and how we all mess up. We all make mistakes. And somebody who comes home early due to worthiness issues, that's like a scarlet letter, you know? Because when people ask, why did you come home? They either have to say, you know, they have to get defensive and say, like, none of your business. Or the better one, you know, from me talking now to those who have come home early for worthiness issues, is they own it, you know? And they don't, you know, give details, but like, I made some mistakes and I'm here to fix them and I could use your help. That's the great thing for people who come home early due to worthiness issues to say to somebody who asks the why question. And so from that moment on, I really embraced all the reasons why somebody could come home early. And I began really thinking about it. And, you know, the whole story of how early homecoming came about is really its own story. But I will just say that it's been a real privilege ever since I allowed myself to start opening up to others about my early homecoming experience. It's been amazing to hear other people's early homecoming experience. And everybody's is different. Everybody is on their own path. But the worthiness interviews actually have been my favorite interviews, not because I, you know, gossip or finding out what they did. In fact, I very rarely find out what they did. Instead, what I hear every time is how the atonement worked in their lives and how they have such a strong testimony of the atonement. They're just beautiful. And anyways, I love those interviews. I feel like I got a little off topic though, so...
Now, you've said that it took you about 2 years after coming home to finally feel comfortable to say, I served a mission. I served a mission in the Philippines, and gradually opening up and giving more and more detail. What was it that helped you turn that corner, that helped you feel comfortable sharing that, yes, I served a mission? And ultimately, what helped you process this whole experience of feeling prompted to serve a mission, of going on a mission, of being ill and not being miraculously healed, and then choosing to come home and then choosing to stay home? What ultimately helped you to accept that as part of your history and move on? If that's
I get
the right
that question a lot. And there really was not one thing that made me turn the corner. It was a lot of little things over time. And the biggest thing probably was just accepting for myself that I had come home early, to stop trying to hide it, to stop trying to deny it, to stop telling myself not to think about it or to not even think about my mission. Like I didn't even take any of my mission journals with me to college. I just left everything at home. My name tag, my Philippines shirt, you know, just everything. I left it all at my parents' house and just went to school in Utah. And I think that really, yeah, talking to people helped. And that was probably my first step. And it wasn't just one event, but it was a lot of events of allowing myself to think about my mission. And in doing that, I was able to remember the good parts of my mission, teaching those investigators, the beautiful hike I went on with a group of missionaries in the jungle of the Philippines, walking the streets, those perfect moments where I was able to bear my testimony and I seemed to touch somebody's life. I allowed myself to think about that, and it was very healing. And I realized that going on a mission had been a good thing in my life and that it wasn't something I needed to hide or be ashamed of. And so from that, then I was able to think about coming home early and why that had happened. And that's kind of just as I allowed myself to think about it and process it instead of just trying to shove it out of my mind, that's when I realized I really didn't do anything wrong. My companion, those sisters I lived with, they were wrong. It wasn't that I was unworthy. Was that I got sick and it was out of my control. And yeah, maybe it was my own fault being stupid and brushing my teeth with bad water, but we all make stupid mistakes in life. And of course I'd go back if I could and undo that. But I don't think it was a sin. I just think it was a momentary lapse of judgment, and I paid the price for it and I came home. But I continue to live my life and live a good life too. I decided to stop letting this be a thorn in my side, as I just allowed myself to think about my own experience and how I thought about it, me, myself, personally. I healed. And I knew I was right with God. I knew I was right with me. And that's all I needed. And so after that, it wasn't really hard letting people know I came home early. It wasn't really hard to talk about anymore. I guess in the beginning, I still felt a little nervous about the judgment that could come my way. But it rarely did. People really were kind to me about it. I must have just gotten lucky and found some nice people. But even if they hadn't been kind, I was in a good place. And I knew that I wasn't going to let any negative comments affect me because of what I said. I was right with me, and I knew I was right with God, and that's all I needed.
So it sounds like owning your experience. I felt prompted. I chose to serve a mission. I served a mission. I got sick, maybe through my own actions, maybe not. I chose to come home. I chose to stay home. I did my best through it all. It sounds like owning your experience, similar to what you were saying about missionaries who come home early due to worthiness issues. What helps them is owning, here's why I came home.
Yes, exactly. Owning the experience. And same, you know, with any missionary, I agree. Yeah, worthiness, physical health, mental health, family troubles, personal reasons, you know, just homesickness, choosing to go home, owning it. Owning it at least to yourself. At least yourself. You don't have to give everybody else all the details. They don't need all the details. You certainly can if you so choose and feel inspired to do so, but otherwise, allow yourself to process those hard emotions, those hard thoughts. Let yourself think them and see if there's any truth to them. You know, and even if there is some truth, like, you know, you made a mistake in one way or another, own it. And remember that God is so kind and loving, and this coming home early, it really doesn't have to be a thorn in your side for the rest of your life. It's something that happened, but you can look at it like any other experience in life, any other hard experience. It's a learning experience. It's a learning opportunity. It's something that's going to give you greater insight into yourself, into life, into others, and you really will be okay. you really, really will. And there is more to life than serving a mission. I'm pretty sure any returned missionary, early or not, will tell you that there is more to life than serving a mission. But I know when you're in your young 20s, it certainly doesn't feel that way. Missions are a big part of our young 20s Latter-day Saint culture. Even now it's, you know, young, like 18, 19. But there's so much more to life. And if you came home early and you feel like it was the right thing to do, or even like it was a good thing to do, then own it. Own that and move forward.
That concludes this interview on early homecoming. If you would like to go deeper into the experiences of early returned missionaries, please consider buying my book, Early Homecoming. You can find it in paperbook, ebook, or audiobook formats on Amazon. If you would like to contact me, please come find me on Instagram at author_Kristen Reber or on Facebook at facebook.com/Kristen Reber. That's KristenReber.